hear the scripture readings for this morning, perhaps to begin by thinking of Psalm 85, verse 8, as we prepare to listen to God's word. The psalm writer says, "Let us hear what you will speak when we turn to you in our hearts." And so let us do that. I'll be reading first from Luke's gospel, the 8th chapter, beginning at the second half of the 42nd verse. Listen to God's word. "As Jesus went, the crowds pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out from me.' When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Jesus said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" Here ends the first reading. The second reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, the first two verses. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The river of God, the river of love. The river of life and mystery. Some time ago, I came across a quote in a meditation that spoke of that river and flowing, and it touched me. It said, "The river is flowing. We are already in it." The river of the water of life. The river of the living God. We are already in it. Too often we forget that. There is an immensity, and I put a capital I on that. There is an immensity in and through the earth and universe, a positive energy, a life-giving source. It's a mystery that is beyond our comprehension, that can't be fully understood. But occasionally, it pierces our hearts, and we know we have been touched by the holy, by God, by immensity itself. It carries us through all. It carries us to the other side, although perhaps that's not always what we're looking for. It carries us till we are able to receive the wisdom we need in that moment, or the comfort, or the faith to carry on. Too often, we fight off mystery. We want answers. After reciting the creed or creeds Sunday after Sunday, and perhaps year after year, we might think that we have figured God out. After professing that Jesus is Lord of my life, we may mistakenly file away his calling as a past event. Done. Taken care of. Check off that box. Until a crisis or the unexpected happens. In the fourth chapter of John's Gospel, not one of the readings this morning, but one you may already be familiar with, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at a well, and he answers a question that she asks him by saying, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Further along in that same passage, Jesus says, "Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Living water. The river is flowing. We are in it, and it is in us. The scripture that you heard earlier of the woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, who came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his robe and was immediately healed. She knew that if she could just touch his robe, that would be enough. And it was. She didn't need to talk to Jesus, go through her health history, describe her long, fruitless journey seeking wholeness, if she could just touch him. She knew and believed this, despite the beliefs of that day, that she was unclean because of her hemorrhaging, and that she should not be out in public. But there she was, trusting, believing. There was a knowing deep inside her that there was a river or a spirit of life and love, and that she too was part of it. Each of us, those here, those listening in, are part of it. In Mark and Matthew's Gospels, we read of someone else, a Syro-Phoenician woman, a Gentile, which is to say, at that time, she was not a Jew, she was an outsider, who went to Jesus asking that he heal her daughter who had an unclean spirit. She had such belief that she didn't even bring her daughter with her. She trusted, despite being an outsider, a Gentile, that she belonged to. She believed that Jesus could heal her daughter, as I said, without her even being there. And she was right. She also knew deep down that she too was worthy of the living water, the spring of water gushing up to eternal life, and the healing touch of Jesus upon her daughter. We too, each one of us and every one of us, are worthy in God's eyes. Faith is often believing, and despite our unbelieving, at the very same moment. It is trusting in the river of God's providential love, which is to say, trusting God's active, loving oversight of all creation and all people. And this providential love of God is not an abstraction. God knew that we humans need to be able to see things, that a visible presence of some kind was needed. And so God gifted us with its embodiment in his Son, Jesus the Christ. as well as in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And finally, in creation that is all around us, in which we see the hand of the grand Creator God. Ours is not a God who created all and then left us on our own to figure things out, but who remains with us and sustains the created order. This is the divine process. We are created out of love, for love, and we exist in a river of love and life. And then life happens. Things happen. Accidents, diagnoses, losses, a gazillion upsets and surprises, and fear and panic surge up in us. We attack issues with our minds to fix things, to do something, anything. We often respond to unexpected changes quickly, saying, you know, got to get things back to normal. Yet, as you may have experienced, as I have, a quick response, not always well thought out, might actually make the situation worse. Our faith and trust can abandon us when we lose touch with our inner knowing, that inner realm within us where Christ abides and we in Him. That place in our hearts is often beyond words. We do not need to create our own river, because the river of God is already flowing. So we do not need to be afraid. But the question may arise in us, how do I stay in touch with this inner knowing during upsets and crises, or even just in our daily lives? At such times, there's a need to slow down, to recognize and name what we're feeling. You may have read somewhere, take 5 or 10 deep breaths, just focusing on your breathing in and out where you are. This can often center and calm us. Name what you're feeling. Fear, heartache, panic, anger. And know that you don't have to stay there. It does not have to control us. There is something, someone, capital S on that, more real, who can be trusted and who is with you, with us, that very moment and every moment. Despite what we see and may feel in some moments, we are in the river of God's love. The father of a child who was taken over by an unclean spirit said to Jesus one day, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." At such moments, we must attempt to keep ourselves grounded, plant ourselves in what is most real and authentic and deep within us, and live out of it. The Reverend Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation, put it this way. He said, "We mustn't engineer an answer too quickly, get settled too fast. We all want to manufacture an answer to take away our anxiety and settle the dust. But our call is to stay in God's hands and to trust." That could mean finding an image, a word, or a verse to carry with you, one that centers you, calls you back to your true self when the ground beneath you shakes. That'll be different for each of us. It could be a verse from a psalm. He leadeth me beside still waters. Or just the two words, still waters, as a reminder. Be still and know that I am God. Perhaps it's words from a hymn or a song, Christ, my solid rock. Peace, like a river. Or perhaps reminding yourself, there is a river and I am already in it. Some word or words that are right there that you can immediately ground yourself with. The immensity of God is beyond our comprehension. Despite what we see, we can always know in our hearts, in the best of times and in the worst, that we are accompanied, we are held, and we are never alone. The river of the living God is flowing. We are already in it. All thanks and glory be to God. Amen. Let us turn to hymn 361.